Eric Meehan of Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, joining us with perfect diction as always. Hello there, Mr. Meehan.
Good afternoon.
Ooh, very good.
Don't you hate it when you're on a plane and it starts to rain? I mean, what is with that? Like, I mean, I appreciate that they try to do the whole, realism thing, but honestly, that's just unnecessary. Sorry, I apologize for being distracted right now. My children are arriving. My mother-in-law just walked in the room. I have no idea why. It's quite a thing when you're trying to talk on the radio, folks. Hi. Do famous people have this problem? Actually, famous people do, right?
Yes.
This is like one of those things on CNN when, like, the nanny couldn't keep the kid confined.
It happens all the time. We were talking to the Bacon Brothers. Kevin was, like, getting himself a drink and pouring it out. It was like an ad for a soda commercial or something in the background.
That's tremendous.
And my son is out in the hallway, and occasionally I can hear him singing through the microphone as we're talking. So I feel your pain.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Listen, really quick, I need to say this about Bill Russell. And not, first of all, I am a guy from New Jersey. I didn't particularly follow basketball. Knew him primarily as an activist and as a voice. But what really has struck me, setting that aside over the past couple of days, is how many people are like, yeah, all these young players, they get so much from them, they get so much from them, they get so much from them. If there is a lesson as a player that Bill Russell taught, it's that you figure out your place, and that way you can win a million championships. Now, I feel like there's some players in the league right now, people who may, end up in the Hall of Fame like Bill Russell, that really could use that advice. It's tremendous. It's like, do you not see what he did? Just play as a team. Sometimes you don't always have to be the guy. And in thus being, you'll be the guy. Anyway. It's been incredible that everybody talks about how subservient he was, which made them dominant. It was incredible. Anyway, moving on, moving back to Spain and the rain. Although my gosh, folks, if there is a problem right now, it is rain in Europe and everywhere else. I assume. I don't even assume. I can see the headlines, but my gosh. Folks, do be prepared in the next couple of years for some serious shortages in a lot of agricultural areas in Europe, and again, probably other places as well. The reports I'm getting out of all of that sort of coastal Spain, France, it's not good. It's not good. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about Catalunya. Catalunya is, of course, most famous as the home of Barcelona. So, I mean, I guess it's most famous for that. But in terms of wine, it's the home of Cava. Cava, especially at this time of year, I mean, I'm a huge bubbles fan. Cava has long been, and wrongly so, I believe, and so do the winemakers in this region, has been painted as this alternative to champagne because it's made in the same way, the same sort of two-step method, the method champenoise. But Cava, just so everybody knows, I'm sure you've had some in your lifetimes. It is the official sparkling wine of Spain. It is predominantly like 99.999% made in a little town outside of Barcelona and the areas around it. The town is called Sardoní de Noia. This is where Cordonnier and Fregenet, the two huge cava houses, are located. But this all happens in the greater region called Penedès. And we're going to focus a little bit on Penedès and then a couple of these other regions. But just to touch again on Catalunya as a whole, Catalunya is neither French nor Spanish nor anything else. It's Catalunya. It has been parts of many, many nations over the years. It sits at one of the only two passes between the Iberian Peninsula and mainland Europe. The other one, of course, being on the other side of the Pyrenees, near the Atlantic Ocean. But basically, this area was just—I mean, rife with invasion and conquest. And what do I have here? We have the Greeks, of course, who, and you know, who brought the wine, the Greeks and the Romans, Carthaginians, and of course, varying states since then. So its identity, because of that, is sort of wholly unto itself. And of course, there have been sort of nationalistic presses over the past, forever. The most recent one just a couple of years ago, where they tried to secede, and of course it failed because Madrid is never going to let that happen. But because it's you know, it's like New York or Dallas or Los Angeles trying to secede. It's like, we're not letting your industry go. It's not happening. And that's, you know, that's Barcelona. So getting back to the Penedès is the hot area right now in Catalonia. It is hot because finally the winemakers are like, we have something more special-er than any other place, predominantly on the backs of the three grapes, Macabeo, Charello, and Pareada. And then the red grape, Trepat, but mostly the white grapes are the thing because, of course, the predominant white cavas are all made of that. Of course, as any long listener of this segment knows, you can make white cava or white anything from most red grapes, but in this case, it is these three white grapes that are sort of the crown jewels. You've also seen, you know, cava made with Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, but they're trying to sort of get those out. And Penedès is also starting to make still wines out of these grapes that are superior. So it's a process, but they're starting to get it. They finally got their own appellation of Penedès. And this is P-E-N-E-D-E-S, by the way, Penedès. But again, this is where the predominant cava production is coming from. And I invite anybody out there to try good cava. I mean, there's some okay cava on the market, but good cava right now, and we have some on our shelves, is absolutely on par with any other quality sparkling wine that you would pay, you know, premium prices for. The other parts of Catalonia that are important, of course, Priorat and Montsant, which are a little farther west. Priorat is basically a big north-facing horseshoe, that is like the north wind would sort of be caught in the horseshoe, if you will. And then the region of Montsant is basically the outside rim and hills of that horseshoe. Priorat is like vertigo-inducing hillsides. Montsant, a little bit more reasonable. The granitic soil of Montsant is much more akin to like Beaujolais, as I've mentioned before. And there you have grapes that you might be more familiar with, certainly Garnacha, which is Grenache, Garnacha. It's debated where it originated, but probably it's Spanish. And then, of course, you do have some Syrah, some what the Catalonians call Mazuelo, which is Carignan. And you have some really, really, just really a huge spectrum of wines from these two areas. Anything from huge, robust, age-worthy blockbusters to super fine, elegant, dance on your palate, red and rosés and white. But they're all really worth the time and worth seeking out. Of course, Montsant, being less famous, is a little bit more affordable. And we do have some spectacular examples of that. Carrie, how am I doing for time, sir?
1 minute.
1 minute. Awesome. I just want to, quickly touch on the other regions that are kind of around. The main one is the Barbera Conca de Fina, which is down sort of south of Barcelona. And this is where I mentioned this red grape, Trepat, T-R-E-P-A-T. This is where you're starting to see these this native varietal kind of taking form. Medium-bodied, kind of in its more natural essence, it's kind of barnyardy, but in its more fully ripened, realized essence, is absolutely gorgeous, and anybody who likes sort of that gnarly Southern French stuff, check that out. I think you're really going to like Trepat. With all that said, be well. I will talk to all of you next week. We're going to talk about Tempranillo and hopefully only that and no, like, COVID updates or any nonsense like that. But if it's necessary, you know we will. Be well.
Thanks, Eric. We'll see you next week.
Cheers.
Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor.